The Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the closing market report. It is the 20th day of April 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And then we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. As we close out our program, we'll look at the agricultural weather forecast for the state and for the Midwest with Jim Angel of the Illinois State Water Survey. And along the way, I'll ask you to dial this number, 217-244-9455, with your pledge of financial support for the agricultural programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. And we'll hear from Carl Zuloff, who is an agricultural economist at the Ohio State University. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, this is the way the futures finished up. Wheat and corn were lower, beans were a bit higher. Nearby May contract for the soft red down 9 cents at 6.15 3/4. July at 6.23 down 7. September 6.38 3/4, 6 1/4 lower. And December at 6.61 3/4 down 5.5 cents. The hard red in Kansas City at $6.35 1/2 down 11 cents for the day. May corn on the afternoon finished at 6.12 1/2 down 8 1/2. July at 6.03 9 cents. Cents lower. September 5.45 down a dime. In December at 5.36 3/4, 5 cents lower. March contract 5.47 3/4 down 4 3/4 on the day. May futures in the soybean pit $14.46 3/4 had finished up 31 cents. July at 14.52 1/2 up 31 1/2. And the August soybeans, $14.37 1/2, 27 cents higher. September, $13.95 3/4, up 20 1/4 cents. And November beans at $13.56, up 13 1/2 on the day. January, $13.56, up 12 1/4. Bean meal futures at $4.06, up $14.10. Bean oil at $55.83, 66 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the June at $115.45, down 40. The August at $118.85, 10 cents higher. May feeder cattle at $151.90, up, rather down 17 1/2. The August at $155.32 1/2, finished 20 cents lower. And the lean hogs in the June contract at $87.40 per 100 pounds, finished $1.37 1/2 lower for the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures at $103.05 a barrel, 78 cents higher. Ethanol at 2.14 8/10. That's down 1 1/8 cents. Natural gas for the afternoon at $1.92 6/10. 1 1/9 cents higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel, $1.03, 1 3/10 cent higher at $3.13 8/10. And the gold futures on the day, $1,642.10 an ounce, up $1.50. The dollar at 79.2. That's down 0.34. The CRB index at 301.23, 1.93 higher on the day. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area says that this afternoon from the National Weather Service we'll see scattered showers. Those will come before 4 p.m. today, cloudy then. Steady temperatures around 49 degrees with a north-northwest wind at about 17 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 25. Precipitation set at 30% in the area. Tonight, cloudy skies gradually becoming partly cloudy, a low of 36, a north wind at 10 to 16, gusting to 22. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high of 58. Saturday night, partly cloudy, the low of 37. Sunday, sunny and 61. Sunday night, partly cloudy, a low of 39 degrees, and on Monday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 61. Monday night, partly cloudy and 42. Tuesday, sunny and 65. A beautiful day. Tuesday night, cloudy and 49. Wednesday, back to mostly sunny skies, the high near a beautiful 74. Wednesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 53. And by the time we get to Thursday of next week, mostly sunny skies and a high of 74 degrees. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast for the state of Illinois and the Midwest when we talk with Jim Angel a bit later in the program. He's at the Illinois State Water Survey and the Prairie Research Institute.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon, and I'd like you to dial this number before we get to Mike Zuzulo, 217-244-9455. You know, from time to time, we come to you here on Illinois Public Media because we are funded in part, in large part, in fact, by you, our listeners, and makes a difference to us when you do make a phone call to 217-244-9455 and pledge your financial support for the agricultural programming. Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, is with us this afternoon to talk about reasons why that should happen and one of the challenges that we have on the table for the day. Good afternoon to you, Dave.
Good afternoon to you, Todd. I want to give a big old AM 580 and willag.org tip of the hat to Adam Morgansky and Lawrence Richards and David Hughes and James Ersworthy and James Turner and Charles Cassidy. What do they all have in common? They're all folk that this morning took the Strategic Farm Marketing Challenge. Strategic Farm Marketing, one of our fine business partners, says they will give us $500 additional dollars when we hear from 20 subscribers, 20 people who say they will support the agricultural service on AM 580 today. Well, I don't know if I can be so bold yet as to say last chance Texaco on this, but I would sure like to. We have four people that need to make a phone call right now at 217-244-9455 in support of our agricultural programming. When we hear from just four more people,
Strategic Farm Marketing
will give us $500.
Yeah, we last chance Texaco on those four, but just keep dialing.
But just keep dialing, of course.
We need far more than four Bob Colkeen, don't we?
Yes, we do. But I tell you what, to get four in here would be a terrific thing. But I know we can do better than that because every time I'm out in the community and I have a Will Ag hat on, I am stopped by someone who tells me how great the program in here is, guys. They talk like, you know, Dave and Todd, you really make their day brighter. You give them good information, and they live by the information you provide. If you start your day and end your day with these guys, give us a call at 217-244-9455, and I bet everybody here knows today is Friday, not because of looking at a calendar or anything, but because of the music that Todd plays. Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely. Leonard Skinner is definitely a Friday day. It's
our
a
Friday
kind of day. If you've heard that song and you know what I mean, be one of those four callers, or let's make it eight callers. Be one of the eight callers during
this
break.
We'll make it 12.
Let's make it 12. Why not? We have a really good goal of 1,100 pledges this drive, and you can help us make that goal. Give us that call at 217-244-9455 or go online to WILLpledge.org.
Hey, you know, one of the reasons that I change music each and every day, especially if you're listening on the podcast, is so that you know which day of the week you're listening to. Because
there
sometimes
you
might get into that podcast and not know whether we've updated the website or not. But as soon as you get in on the afternoon programming and you hear the music on Monday, you know that you're listening to The Who and Baba O'Reilly and Django Reinhardt and Daphne on Tuesdays, Wednesdays. We listen to, what do we listen to? Oh, little Sammy Kay. Not saying Sammy Hagar, but Sammy Kay. Yeah. And Green Onions on Thursday. And on Friday, we always listen to Leonard Skinner, and we talk to Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics in Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana, and on the phone line with us this afternoon. Thanks, Mike, for being with us one more time today.
Todd, you're very welcome, and you and Dave, you do very, very good work. You make it look easy. You make it look simple, but it is not. It's very hard work, and my hat is off to both of you. And I thought we were doing the Leonard Skinner because of my long hair that I have.
Hey, it's the same length as mine, buddy. Nope, that's not the reason that we do Leonard Skinner, I can tell you. That is definitely not. Hey, one other thing, and Dave and I know this, that you don't really tune in to listen to Dave or I. It's Mike Zuzulo and Paul Cooley and Dan Zwicker and Jackie Vakes and Kurt Kimmel and Wayne Nelson, and the list goes on and on and on. And if you appreciate really hearing from all of them, give us a call at 217-244-9455, and that's one way you can pass your thanks on to them for all of the support that they offer us here at the radio station. And by the way, thank you so much for all the time that you spend with us, Mike. It makes a big difference to us and to our listeners both. So let's get on to what happened for the day, because yesterday we thought maybe we might end up squeak one by and have a higher close for the week in the corn pit, or maybe that was just wishful thinking on the weekly trade, and we didn't. It finished down 16 and three quarters in the May, although December almost got it. It was down a quarter of a cent for the week.
Yeah, I think you and I touched on this last Friday. We talked about how do you hold gains when you're going into a week that looks pretty rough, given the outside markets and given the weather and crop progress and planning. And we talked about how we needed to feed the bull, and I think that Chinese news yesterday was exactly what the market needed to feed the corn bull, because I think it's pretty clear, and I know we don't have a lot of time today, Todd, but I think it's pretty clear that end users in corn, whether domestic or export market especially, they are not securing much more than hand-to-mouth corn right now because they know producers are not selling because they're planting, and they know producers are likely to sell more as they get done with corn planting and get to bean planting. I've seen a statistic where there's about 9.5 million tons of open corn for sale for open sales in U.S. exports right now, and this helps explain why that information yesterday and that rumor took the corn up and the spread regained traction. Helps explain why the Gulf price right now at $268 a ton is the lowest since December. So if you want to see the corn go higher, I think we got our answer this week, especially if the weather improves and we ease some of the dryness concerns. We simply put need some demand to come in here and step in and go farther than hand-to-mouth.
You think you see any demand there that might do it?
I think it is, but I think the end users are very well secured for the next 20 to 30 days, and they can play this for 20 to 30 more days. I think that the April report was one shot for us to get them to step into out of the fray and into the buying side. I think this Chinese rumor was another one. I think that what we're looking at right now is if you go into a more weather-driven market, and those weather-driven issues are eased, those concerns are eased, and then all of a sudden you start talking about the Kansas wheat tour coming up in 2 weeks, and the wheat being 40 days ahead, and that we're going to start harvesting wheat 40 days in advance without a cold weather threat. Another big key to this week's trade was that, and that didn't end up being an issue at all, it seems. So I think these are the things that will come in and jolt the market, but the trend right now, I think, is getting sloppy, and it's getting more and more serious as far as being able to hold levels, and medium-term charts are also suggesting we might be rolling over here.
On the flip side, you've got the soy complex, who managed to put on some pretty good gains today, up 31 cents. The weekly trade was up a dime in the lead option. And while the November contract managed to put 13.5 cents on today, it still lost 5.75 on the week.
Yeah, I think that was a big thing. The 20-day moving average in November beans did not get violated to the upside, so we are technically still looking at a lower weekly close and no real good support other than that major trend line that we hit earlier this week. And so I think that trend line becomes a huge number, and that price of that 1335, 1330 area in November beans becomes a huge number to keep track of when it comes to the November beans. What happened, I think, today in November beans and in July, especially in May, was option expiration and the trade finally kicking into gear with the idea that the weekly export sales were good and we had more talk of very hard problematic issues with securing beans out of Brazil in particular. Interesting to note, I think one of the big reasons why the beans, other than the May option, was the big catalyst today to getting this market to rally and meal to make new contract highs was the fact that in terms of Brazilian currency, the Brazilian bean price right now is higher than it was back in 2008. I think that really revs up the fundamentalists and says to them, hey, why isn't Chicago up there at 2008 levels as well? So I think you're seeing the bull spread react properly, but November continues to be pulled down a little bit by potentially new crop acres.
So there are many things that are happening directly within the corn and soy complex fundamentally that have had an impact. I'm wondering, is there much of an outside influence at the moment? Because we've heard much in the last week about Spain, a little bit about Italy. The European haunts have begun to come back into the trade's mind.
Yeah, to me, the three big things that happened this week in the outside markets was China widening their currency, frequency band and that having no effect on the market as far as a positive effect. India lowered their interest rate. Brazil lowered their interest rate to the lowest point in 2 years. You've got three out of the four BRIC countries that are supposed to be our drivers of commodity demand who are starting to push the market or push their economies to regenerate and restart them and kickstart them because they see them slowing down. Maybe that will have an impact. I think that's where it plays out in the currency market. One of the bright spots to this week's trade as we closed out the week, and maybe something will help wheat and corn next week if they're put up against negative weather issues, is the fact that the 50-day moving average in the dollar is now resistance again. We fell back below that today, and hopefully we'll close back below that in the euro currency by the same token is back above 132. These are the numbers that you watch in the outside markets to kind of get an idea of that risk-on, risk-off trade that you're talking about.
Thanks so much for taking the time.
Good luck on the fund drive, Todd.
Hey, thank you so much. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, wishing us a very good luck on the fund drive. If you have not started to dial yet, now is the time, 217-244-9455, or just go to willpledge.org. If you're on our website at willag.org, it should be up in the right-hand side of the page, and pledge your financial support for the agricultural programming from willag.org and Illinois Public Media.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Well, up next, the Farm Bill is on Washington, D.C.'s to-do list. Next week, in fact, and especially before the November election, I'll have more on the debate and how this time around, by default, it should center on crop insurance. Most farm policy watchers believe the direct payments farmers have been getting for just being farmers will go away with the end of the 2008 version of the Farm Bill. Most also think those payments will be replaced in some form by an enhanced version of the crop insurance program. Now, the Ohio State University's Carl Zuloff, an ag economist and farm policy specialist, says federal crop insurance has been around since the beginnings of the Farm Bill in the 1930s, although it wasn't widely used until about 1990.
Since 1990, crop insurance has grown quite a bit. It has grown in terms of the number of acres that is insured. We've gone from roughly 100 million in the early 1990s to over 250 million today. At the same time that you've had this increase in the number of acres, you've had the net payments made by crop insurance continue to grow. They were in 1990, we were, you know, at a very small number, less than $500 million of net farm payments. We, in the 2011 crop year, will be around $5.5 to $5.6 billion in net farm payments. And 2011 will be the first time that net payments by crop insurance have exceeded direct payments.
Historically, Zuloff says crop insurance has been able to avoid key issues associated with the farm safety net, in part because it is a risk management program, and in part because of its relatively small size. He says it has outgrown that ignore me caliber.
The issue is that's under discussion, and I think is going to get even more discussion, is if crop insurance is becoming a central component to the farm safety net, which almost everybody agrees is happening, then is it appropriate and fair to also attach conservation compliance to that? This is an issue of great debate. Many in the farm community don't want to see that happen because it imposes a regulation on them. Of course, many in the non-farm community, particularly in the environmental community, want to see this happen. I see it as an issue of the centrality of the program and the accomplishment of objectives that extend beyond the farm sector, in this case, to conservation. And I think, you know, we're going to have a long debate over this. I do not know whether we will address it in this farm bill, but if we do not address it in this farm bill, I would fully expect it to come back up in the next farm bill.
The other issue with crop insurance most assuredly will be discussed, payment limits. The GAO, the General Accounting Office, has already released a report on crop insurance and payment limits. Azuloff says there are two ways to implement crop insurance payment limits.
You limit the amount of payments that crop insurance makes. So in other words, if you collect, you can only collect so much indemnity. The other one is that you can limit the amount of subsidy that a farmer could receive, and that once that subsidy level is reached, then the farmer would have to pay the full or a higher proportion of the premium. Both approaches are being talked about. As an economist, I see the approach of limiting subsidies as a much more friendly way to implement this with respect to management.
Limiting payments undercuts the purpose of the program by not allowing it to fully pay out in a year a farmer might need the income most. Limiting the subsidy allows the farmer to make a decision of whether or not to further bear the cost of purchasing unsubsidized crop insurance. Zuloff is clear that his thoughts on limits are not an endorsement of limits on insurance. Instead, he says, should U.S. society decide to impose such limits, it is a call for thoughtful discussion of options and careful considerations of their impact on managing a farm. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. We're asking you to dial in with your financial support at this point, 217-244-9455. We just need four calls in. I bet they're streaming in at the moment. I know, Dave, that we've got two to make sure that we're going to head towards that extra little $500. Is that right, from Strategic Farm Marketing?
$500 from Strategic Farm Marketing, Todd, when we hear now from two more listeners in support of agricultural programming. The number to call, 217-244-9455. I was reflecting on that feature that we just heard from you, Todd, and how day in and day out we provide not only the marketplace, which is really, really important, and weather, which is really, really important to all of our producers across the Corn Belt, but stories of interest that also can have an impact on their bottom line, on their back pocket, on their financial future. And if you appreciate those kind of stories, now would be a great time to go to your phone at 217-244-9455. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express card.
Bob Colquhoun is with us, too, this afternoon. Bob, we're making our way through an agricultural afternoon.
You know what? I listen to Car Talk on Saturday morning, and when I'm with you guys, I feel like I'm with the click and clack of agriculture. Let me tell you, you guys get
who's
going on.
Who's clack?
We do kind of have fun.
You do. It's really a fun time to be here. I wish all our listeners could be in this studio with you guys, putting out the information that you do day in and day out. We really appreciate what you do. Folks, if you appreciate it, give us a call at 217-244-9455. State your support for the station. We have a great opportunity for us to get some more funding from one of our supporters by you calling in right now. If you can't get to the phone and you're by a computer, it's WILLpledge.org and state your support for the station.
Whatever you do, make sure you say ag thanks to Bob Colquhoun and to Dave Dickey for being in studio with us this afternoon. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. You can dial in your support at 217-244-9455. On the phone line with us to take a look at the cash grain market is Bruce Bostard at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon. I'm a little afraid of which name at the end of Car Talk staff people I get to be.
You listen enough that you know. So which one do you want to be is the question.
I think I'll go with the Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe.
Oh, there you go. I love the end of that program and how they go through the process.
Great. That's great.
Well, speaking of, well, not of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. But you've been silent there today. Is that right?
I plant them, you pick them.
Awfully quiet here. earlier in the week as we were out finishing up planting corn. Today, I think it was take a break and watch the weather map and see how much rain we're going to get. It's kind of funny. It feels more like, you know, later June and July watching the sky than the middle of April.
What's your expectations for basis in the coming week?
I think that we could see some continued basis improvement. I mean, it has been dead steady over the last week. Just the fact that when we break stuff back, we get more stories on reducing the South American crop, and you start to kick in Chinese rumors when you break back. It looks to me like we have a support level under there. And if you're not going to take and run the board, basis might have a little more work to do.
And your bids for the day?
We are at 621 on nearby corn and 1434 on soybeans.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us.
Thank you.
All right. That's Bruce Bostert. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. They're in Ludlow, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon. Have you dialed in yet? I sure do hope so. The number to call is 217-244-9455, or if you're pledging online, that is at willag.org, and then hit the button in the right-hand corner.
Support comes from Murray Wise Associates, a nationwide agricultural advisory firm and land auction company specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of farmland and agribusiness investments. Land, auctions, agribusiness. More information is at murraywiseassociates.com.
On a Friday afternoon, time to check in on the weather forecast. A little drizzle here. Jim Angel of the Illinois State Water Survey. Can we expect that to dry up shortly?
Hi, Todd. Yes, we've got this band of showers moving through the state. When I was home for lunch, I looked in the rain gauge. I had about 0.2 inches. That's expected to move out in the next couple hours here. And I really don't see anything too major coming out of that system. There's a few areas of heavier rain amounts to the south of us, but I think for the most part, it's just going to be a couple of 0.1 inches. And then once you get past that, then it's clear sailing for the next several days. Really nothing in the forecast for rain probably until next Friday or so. So we're going to see things kind of cool off. We've got this cold front that's pushed through, so it'll be a little cooler tonight and tomorrow. Tonight it'll be down to 36 and high tomorrow 58. It'll warm up a little bit more on Sunday, high of 61, and then we'll be kind of in the 60s. And through about Tuesday and then into the 70s after that. So we'll see some warming back up after we get past this cold front here. And even the 6 to 10-day and 8 to 14-day forecast calls for much warmer and drier conditions.
Hey, one last question for you before I let you go. When you mark down the officials today, will that be the 0.2 from your house?
Yeah, that's right. And we got an extra ring gauge here at work.
Oh, you got one at work that does the job? Okay.
That's right.
I was just checking. I wanted to make sure which one was be the official one from the
Illinois
State Water Survey. That's
right. The one here at work is the official guy.
Oh, thanks so much, Jim, for taking the time with us.
Okie doke.
Jim Angels at the Illinois State Water Survey joins us here on the Closing Market Report for Friday afternoon. Have you dialed in yet at 217-244-9455? If you have not, please do so now. If you have, it looks like Dave Dickey's telling me we need one more call this afternoon. Oh, they must be really busy. You got to be kidding.
We need one call. We need some flash fingers right now, some dancing fingers.
There you go.
217-244-9455. If you've been lurking in the weeds, your call right now will put another $500 in the kitty from the good business partners at Strategic Farm Marketing. 217-244-9455.
Oh, don't let Strategic Farm Marketing get away with that. Then we want their $500 in the kitty. And I got to tell you that $500 sometimes, depending on who you are, sounds like a lot, sounds like not much. Here at the radio station, despite the fact that there were the radio station, it's a lot, and it makes a big difference to us. So dial in right now at 217-244-9455. Pledge your financial support for the agricultural programming for the folks that you listen to each and every business day on Illinois Public Media and willag.org. My thanks to Bob Colquhoun and to Dave Dickey for being
great
alongside
to be here
on this Friday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.